السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا
says that in the previous khutbah
Islam
I mentioned about going for justice and also the pain, peace and harmony was the subject on which I spoke, and I mentioned the instructions contained in the Holy Quran that through establishing justice we can establish the foundation of peace and harmony in the world. And the base of that is in righteousness. And Huzur says that in the Holy Quran there is so much emphasis on getting the quality of righteousness in the Holy Quran, so much that it is not expected from a believer at any time that he would be taking any part in the loss of peace in the world or the disturbance. Regarding this, the Quranic teaching I mentioned from this point of view that no Muslim individually or at government level it is permissible that he should be having any enmity with any people. Islam emphasizes that we should establish our relationship based on good relationship and harmony with all people, except those people who directly those who impose the wars on Muslims directly. In this context, today I would like to mention some other teachings of Islam in this matter. That why and to what extent it is permissible to go for war. And if this recourse is not taken, which was permitted in the early part of Islam, then what are the losses which will result from that, and what will be the grave consequences of this one? Or it was possible that such grave consequences could have been there. So that will prove that the permission to go for qital, for war, that was for the purpose of establishing peace and not for creating disorder in the world.
propaganda karne wale
as those who are making the propaganda against Islam, they are saying like this, if these opponents of Islam or their supporters or those who people who stand in their support, if we look at their own religions and the actions of their own governments and all the efforts which they are doing to destroy the peace of the world, if we look at that, so then there is no room for them to flee away from it. But our purpose, we do not want to exploit the rancors and the ill feelings and the enmities in heart. So the teachings contained in the Holy Quran, what he has given to us, he has mentioned in the Holy Quran. I am just going to mention some points about that, from which this it will explain further that the permission for war and defensive battle, that was what was the purpose of that. And through this, the beautiful teaching of Islam will become more evident. This is the teaching that we comparing with any teachings of any other religion, the teachings of Islam becomes very outstanding, and it establishes its position, and no other teaching can in any way be put in comparison to this one. So no Ahmadi at any time, whenever they are going to reply to any opponent of Islam, then there is no need of becoming complacent about that. Every command of the Holy Quran is full of wisdom, and the purpose of that is to establish the rights towards Allah and the rights towards people. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding those wars which were fought and regarding those wars which were during the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or his caliphs were fought, he has pointed out the reasons of those, and he says that there were basically three reasons for that. Number one was that it was in self defense, and that was for the purpose of getting the security and having your self defense in order to protect yourself. And secondly, as a form of punishment, that is taking revenge equal to the crime done, and in order to punish those people who shed the blood of innocent Muslims, that was adopted, and the Islamic government was there, they had the right to do so. And number three was that to establish the freedom, the purpose of to shatter the power of those who are opponent to Islam. In order to do that, those people who were persecuting and persecuting the Muslims at that time because they had the power, now we see that in these cases, whatever was the form of fighting, what is the teachings of Islam? If we look at this teaching regarding war, even an ordinary person with ordinary intellect, he can understand that in those circumstances when the Muslims were permitted to go for war, if the permission had not been granted, then the peace of world would have been destroyed completely. This is such a beautiful teaching, as I have mentioned before, that no other teaching of any other religion, whether Christianity or any other religion, cannot be compared with it at all. Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. that those people against whom the war is waged, because they were persecuted, they are permitted, and Allah Almighty has the full power to help those people. Then Allah Almighty says, those people who were turned out from their places of worship because they said Allah Almighty is our Allah, Huzur has quoted the full verse. The translation of that is that these are the people who were turned away from their homes just because of the fact that they said that Allah is our Rabb, is our Lord, and Allah Almighty made this defense for various people by making them fight against one another. And if that had not been the case, then the temples and the churches and the mosques and the synagogues in which the name of Allah is remembered, that would have been destroyed. And Allah Almighty will only help those people, and Allah has the full power, and He is the one with full dominance and supremacy. That is to say that the permission is granted to these people. Number one, yuqataluna biannahum zulimu, because they were transgressed against and made the object of persecution without any reason, therefore they are now permitted. That now your government is established, you can also take your action, and if somebody comes to kill you, then you can protect yourself. And if the government is established, that as a punishment, you can also do that. And then the second thing mentioned there is there, ukhraju min diyarihim bighair haq, that these people, they were turned out from their homes without any reason. And what is their fault? The fault, they say, is that they simply declare that Allah is our Lord. Then Allah Almighty says that if this permission had not been granted, which was granted to the Muslims after suffering and enduring this persecution and wrongdoings for a very, very long time, so then there would have been unrest and lack of peace everywhere in the world. So this principle is mentioned there, that when some nation for a very long time they become the object of persecution and bad doing, and they are made the victim of that, then the permission is granted to them. When they have their established government and they have the rights, so then they are permitted to go for war. But the purpose of that is to do away with the injustice which is being done. Not the purpose that in order to take their revenge, they should go out of all bounds and limits. This point is particularly mentioned. This profound wisdom, it also has taken care of the protection of other religions. If this permission had not been granted, then these transgressors would have been destroyed the peace of all religions and the followers of that, and that would have increased the enmity. Allah Almighty here has mentioned that all the time this permission is there, and whenever somebody who is doing injustice, if these people are putting blame on Islam because of that, then this blame is totally ill-founded and wrong. It is only to defend the injustice which is done there. Islam does not impose any hardship in matters of religion, and it says there is no compulsion in matters of religion. Neither it allows anybody to come into the religion forcibly, and nor they have to keep it there. The matter of religion, it belongs to everyone. Therefore, everyone has the right to live according to one's own religion. In this instruction and commandment, The Muslims, they have been drawn their attention to this instruction that wherever you have your government, you should abstain from this thing that you should destroy the temples and the worship places of other religions without any justice. Otherwise it will be something bad and it will continue to happen. And as a result of that, there will be an atmosphere of unrest there. Unfortunately, nowadays, in some countries, in some so-called Muslim countries, in which Pakistan is also one of them, some people who are looking after their own interest, the mullahs, in the name of religion, they are also persecuting the Christians. It was mentioned in the newspaper recently in Charsada, there was a news item that they are giving this notice to the people that you leave your religion, otherwise you will be killed or your temples will be destroyed, your churches will be destroyed. And some years back it was actually done like that. So this is the thing, Huzur says, which has brought a bad name to Islam. And the opponents of Islam, they have this opportunity of raising their fingers by way of objection against Islam. Today the Muslims everywhere, they have to face this situation in case of Rushdie, that because these people are disobeying the commands of Allah. Otherwise Allah Almighty's promise is there that if you do in order to defend yourself and to do away with injustice, then Allah Almighty will help you. Today we see that the help and the assistance of Allah is nowhere along with the Muslims in any country at all. And moreover, we also see that the injustice is done against Ahmadis, the persecution which is done there. In some cases they destroy the mosques, and some cases they are successful in doing so. These are actually disobeying the commands of Allah. And because of that, there is no blessing with them. Today you look around, what is the condition of the Pakistan, I have mentioned before as well. Almost all other countries are in the same situation. So therefore, the government, they do not put these ignorant mullahs under their control. Then this conflict, which is against God Almighty, this war is against Allah Almighty. So far as Ahmadis are concerned, as far as they are concerned, they are following the teachings given by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and as a result of that they are not going to pay back in the same coin. In whichever country they live, they are going to follow the law of that country, and because of that they undergo this persecution. And in a general way as well, in the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever was the common style war was with the guns and arms, that has been forbidden. So Ahmadis are not going to pay back in the same coin as the persecution is done against them. But Allah Almighty, definitely according to His promise, He will come to the help of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. So these Muslim countries, wherever the Ahmadis are being done injustice, and then they should be fully realize this situation, that as a result of these crimes that they are committing, then they are, according to this promise of Allah Almighty contained in this verse, then Allah Almighty will defend the Muslims by way through making these people fight between them. And so because of that, this can also apply to these people. Allah Almighty has not mentioned that this is only an instruction for Muslims. It is not the permission only given to the Muslims, or this is only for the establishment of peace among Muslims, but as a matter of fact, it applies for each and every person, follower of any religion may be. If they are persecuted and some aggression is done against them, then they will be helped. So these Ahmadis who have accepted the Imam of the age, who came according to the prophecies of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the one who are following the commandments of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else. They establish the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in their hearts more than anybody else, and they are the one who believe in this kalima more than anybody else. If people are doing injustice against them, if they are destroying their mosques, and if they are bringing these people under this hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he has mentioned that if any Muslim attacks another Muslim, then he does not remain Muslim any longer. And the definition of a Muslim, Huzur says, I mentioned many times again, that those who believe in kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, then his faith is established. So therefore the community of the promised Messiah will never fight against these people or attack other people, because we are under the governments, but we don't have our own government. But this fighting is otherwise also prohibited in this age, it has been postponed. So in ordinary circumstances we do not attack others. So those people who are the believers in kalima, those who attribute themselves to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no question that we should ever be attacking upon them, whatever they may do. But from us there is always a message of peace for everyone. But we do believe that inshallah ta'ala, Allah Almighty will open up the ways for us in these times of persecution. If not today, then these ways and these avenues will be made open inshallah, and the Ahmadis will be able to live a life of peace and freedom. And we are not worried that if these governments and the mischief mongers, if they do not abstain from that, then Allah Almighty, according to His prophecy and His promise, then if these people, they transgress and go beyond their limits, then Allah Almighty will punish them. And there are many those who are not following the teachings of Islam. Then for them there is no limits of transgression. They may go on doing everything. So therefore we have to pray for these people as well, that may Allah give them wisdom. This message is a message of satisfaction for those who are persecuted against, and it is also a warning for those people, and they have to have the fear of these people, for those people who transgress. So therefore these people who declare themselves to be Muslims, Huzur says that in this message Allah Almighty has given the promise of protection for everyone, and those people who declare themselves Muslims and do not follow this, then they come under the punishment of and wrath of Allah. All those people who declare themselves to be Muslims, they should, instead of bringing bad name to Islam, they should try to get the blessing from this very fact, that they should be changing their condition and receive the blessings of Allah by following His commandments. Otherwise the blessing, assistance and help from Allah Almighty will never be in their fate. May Allah give them the realization, and under this instruction then they should be the protector of anybody who is transgressed against, and they help those people. Because the protection of the Muslim, as I mentioned, is also attached with this one, is dependent on that one. In the next verse Allah Almighty says,
اقاموا الصلاۃ واتوا الزکاۃ
الذین ان مکناہم فی الارض اقاموا الصلاۃ واتوا الزکاۃ وامروا بالمعروف ونهوا عن المنکر
جنہیں اگر ہم زمین میں
تم وللہ عاقبت الامور
تو وہ نماز کو قائم
کرتے ہیں that if when we give them the stronghold in the world that they establish the institution of prayer and pay zakat and also advise other people to do good things and admonish them against bad and the ultimate end of everything it belongs to God so this is the job of those people who get the power when with the help of Allah Almighty they become upper hand upon the aggressors then they establish their government where they can live their life according to the instructions of the Allah Almighty then they should analyze themselves and they should ponder over these things that everything has been granted to them by the mercy of Allah Almighty we do not have to become like other people those who have the purpose of depriving the people from their freedoms but as a form of Muslim government without any discrimination for any discrimination based on religion we have to do dispense justice to everyone for everyone in the politics of the country we have to make sure and everybody is expected that he should be participating in the politics of the country peacefully wherever as a citizen they should also have the equal opportunities of progress and this is the job of the Muslim governments
chalane ke usloob
and these Muslim governments and this is the principles of running the Islamic government and this this will be only possible in that case when this point is very clear to them that Allah Almighty is always watching over me my purpose is not to usurp the rights of other people and this cannot protect me against Allah Almighty because he is watching over everything therefore for a Muslim
ya musliman hukumat ko taqat
for any Muslim or any Muslim government whenever they get the peace and the power then they should really become truly observing the prayers and worshipers because without that without observing the institution of prayer with they cannot have the fear of God in their heart the true prayers are those which are offered with the full realization of the wrath of Allah Almighty Allah Almighty has said that there are so many worshipers for them is destruction and they are going to be destroyed and the prayers will be thrown on into their faces and they should think whether they are offering such prayers which according to the which are the prayers like those people who are following the commands of Allah and secondly the monetary sacrifices are there they should not be usurping the rights of other people then the admonition for good things and not stopping the people from evil things this cannot be done without the help of Allah without the fear of Allah so the summary of all these things is that a Muslim government when they get the power then they should not be using this power in a negative way or a wrong way but without any discrimination on color and creed without any religious discrimination they have to dispense justice and this is the way to establish the atmosphere of harmony and peace in those countries and particularly the rights and the
or uski ibadat
every citizen should be given the freedom to adopt the religion whichever he likes and there should be a guarantee by the state that the freedom is guaranteed to offer the worship in his own way and this is actually going to be the assurance and guarantee for establishing real peace so Huzur says that therefore this is the job of the Muslim governments that they should be presenting the true picture of Islamic government before the world the Jamaat Ahmadiyya does not have the government but we can pray that may Allah enable these people that they can present the true picture of Islam to the world so that the attacks which are being done against Islam from every side and those attacks which are actually because of not understanding the true teachings of Islam and because of the wrongdoings of certain Muslims, then through this we will be able to throw out these misconceptions from the minds of people. And Allah Almighty says that the permission which is granted to them, to the Muslims, this is only because of these conditions which have been mentioned before. But in spite of the permission, there are limits. There are rules and regulations of that. And it's not a free hand which is given to them, as it has been mentioned before, that if the enemy is there to transgress, then you should not also be doing transgression against them. But as far as possible, you should contain your defensive wall to that extent that it should be absolutely necessary. No injustice, no transgression should ever be committed in any Muslim government or by any Muslim government. Allah Almighty says, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ, that you fight with those people who actually fight with you and do not transgress, because Allah Almighty does not like the transgressors. Then Allah Almighty says,
وَقْتُلُوهُمْ
حَيْثُ سَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ وَلَا تُقَاتِلُوهُمْ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ حَتَّى يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِيهِ فَإِنْ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوهُمْ كَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ. And during the fight, during the war, when you kill them, that wherever you find them, you turn them away from any place from which they have turned you away, and this disorder is graver than the killing. And don't fight with them unless they fight with you in Bait-e-Haram, and if they fight, then you kill them. This is the punishment of those disbelievers. And then Allah Almighty says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ, that if they desist from war, then Allah Almighty is most forgiving and merciful. And then he says, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ أَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ لِلَّهِ, فَإِنْ انْتَهَوْا فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. And you continue fighting with them until the disorder is completely removed and the religion becomes for Allah. And if they desist, then there is nothing should be done against those people who are, except those who are transgressors. So this is the justice which is the teaching of Islam, that the permission of war is only granted in that case that it should be purely for the sake of Allah. Anything which is attributed to Allah, it cannot be unjust. And it means that the war for Allah means that only fight with those people who stop you from worshipping Allah, who do injustice against you, as it is mentioned. And do not, they have gone to all the limits in transgression. So this fight, there should be no other purpose of this fight except this one, that whatever you are going to do, that is being done for the sake of Allah. And if the fight is for personal gains or for some greeds or for increasing your authority of government, so then that sort of war is completely forbidden in the teachings of Islam. Allah Almighty has said that this war is only permissible at that time, then when people attack you. And moreover, this is also not permissible that the nation which is fighting with you, you fight with each and every person of that. If you do like that, then it will be something overdoing. And Allah Almighty does not like this. your fight should be only with those people who actually fight with you, the people of the army. And Allah Almighty says that you try to contain the war as far as possible, and it should not be that in order to teach them any lesson you go on advancing. Then he has stopped fighting against close to the worship places, except they do it there. And far from demolishing those worship places, the Holy Prophet ﷺ used to ask his companions when they used to go, they always gave this instruction that you have to look after the worship places and should not do any harm to them. And around the mosque there is no question of any fight at all. This is the house of Allah, which is the house of peace, and it is the means of bringing all the people on one hand and to make them one nation. So that sanctity must always be upheld, except when the enemy comes and he compels you to fight close to the mosque. And the purpose of giving this permission of war is to remove the disorder of the world. And therefore, he says that as soon as the disorder is over and the enemy desists from war, then in that case, it is not at all, a Muslim should not be doing anything, any sort of overdoing. And when for the purpose of political issues, there is no justification of war. So this is the Islamic teaching. If the purpose of Islam was simply through the power to spread Islam, then this instruction would not have been there. فَإِنِنْ تَهُوْ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ. Then if they desist, then there should be no transgression against them. Then they should not be looking for any excuses for continuing the battle. Everybody has the right to live according to one's own religion. The war is only at that time when they actually fight with you. Not for this purpose that their religion should be changed or they should be made to change their religion. Allah Almighty says, قُلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا
وَإِنْ يَعُودُوا فَقَدْ مَزَدْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ.
Those who disbelieved, you tell them that if they desist from that, whatever they have done, that will be forgiven. But if they repeat the same again, then the example of that has been before that. وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً. And you وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ فَإِنْ انْتَهَوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. That you go on fighting with these people unless there is no unrest, no fuss. And if they desist, then Allah Almighty looks after those people who establish peace, and if they turn their backs, then Allah is your helper, and what a beautiful helper Allah Almighty is. So this announcement was made through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this war is not for any transgression or any other purpose, but you are the people who actually made the target, the Muslims the target of your aggression. And this is being said to the disbelievers after the Battle of Badr, which took place soon after the migration. And these aggressions which they committed, the disbelievers of Mecca, the memory of that was still in the minds fresh, and they were made the object of the persecution. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was tortured, and those things were still fresh in the minds. And then these disbelievers, they confronted the defeat when they attacked, and the Muslims were encouraged, and they had more belief in the help and the assistance from Allah Almighty. But Allah Almighty asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to announce that you should not, Allah Almighty is far above taking the revenge, and every Muslim is expected that he should be an ambassador of peace. And that is why this announcement was made that we forgive all what you did in the past. And this imposition of war, we forgive that. If you want to have the treaty with us not to attack us again, if you make such a promise, then we will also follow this and we will accept that. That otherwise, whenever you are going to attack, then of course we will defend that and we will take the revenge of that. So for the sake of Allah and for the peace of the world, if we had to fight, then we will do that. This is also criticized. The allegation is there. وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. They quote this one and they say that when the deen, the religion, becomes entirely for the sake of Allah, the opponents attack, criticize that as if the Muslims are under instruction that they should go on fighting and spread the religion with sword until it becomes prevalent all over the world. This is lack of their understanding, and just simply they are presenting this as an allegation totally without any foundation. If they look at the context, if they put them together along with other verses which I have already mentioned, then the meaning is totally different. That so far as the matter of religion is concerned, that is entirely personal and everybody is free to follow whatever he likes. So far as the conveying of the message of Islam is concerned, that is the responsibility, but it is not permitted for them to make anybody believe under coercion. And the meaning of this verse is only that whatever you do, that should be doing only for the sake of Allah, not by way of imposing anything upon other people. If somebody does not believe, then it's up to him. Every Allah Almighty looks whatever a person does, and whatever he would Allah Almighty would like, he will do with these people. About the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, they sometime object that he used to take the armies for his own personal for the sake of his own person. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to write letters of preaching to the kings, and whenever he used to send anybody aslim taslim, then he should say that you believe in Islam and you will be then protected. And some people, they draw this inference that it is a sort of threat, that if you believe in Islam, otherwise we are going to enforce with force. The first thing is that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to write this purely for the sake of preaching, for tabligh, and this is the message of peace which he used to convey. Therefore you follow this message, it is a message of peace, and you come under the shade of this. And these critics, those who see with very biased eyes, they do not realize this point, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wrote these letters to the very powerful kings of his time. And according to these critics, that they take it as a threat. So at one time he was writing letters to all the powerful kings of the time, that if you don't accept, then you should be ready for war. So no sane person cannot possibly do like this, that he should be confronting or trying to confront with all the people, with mighty powers of the time, at one and the same time. At least these people should have some intellect, and they should think in a sane way. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was the Prophet of Allah, and he had full trust in Allah Almighty. He gave this message, but he gave this for this purpose, that you wanted to have the human welfare and kindness, and he had the full belief that only in this religion there is peace for everyone. This is the religion which is spreading the peace. So therefore the people of the world should accept that. And for this purpose, he conveyed this message to the people of the world. He sent letters to various kings of the time. No one could be on this belief more than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was given the last Sharia by Allah Almighty. And this is the message actually which is a guarantee for the establishment of world peace. Therefore he gave this message to the kings of his time in so many words. And this very message, because of his kindness, is also given to anybody who commits transgression against Islam. And this was being given to those people before the start of the war, that Islam is the religion of peace and harmony. So now that you are imposing war upon us, still we give you once again, we once again give you this message of peace, that if you want to keep your religion, then you can keep it. And worship according to your own way. But you should stop the conspiracy against Islam and the persecution of Muslims. But now that you have imposed this war upon us, so then the only solution is, that if you lose the battle, then you will have to submit. And if you submit and accept this message of peace without getting into the war, then it is good, and all your rights will be given to you. So therefore this allegation is totally wrong, that God forbid, it was an injustice to these people. In whatever way it can be taken, that it is only for the purpose of establishing peace, and total freedom has been given to all the people. The history is witness that in the battles, how he used to look after those people who became under him, so much so that he said that there should be no teaching in war, and he used to attack always during the daylight. No killing of any child, no killing of any women. The Christian priests and other religious leaders should not be killed. Old people should not be killed. Those people who do not actually take part in war, even if he is a young man, he should not be killed. And there should be no terrorizing of people. And the Muslim army, when they settle in a place, they should be at a place which does not cause any inconvenience to the people. And those who are not going to follow this, then his fight will not be for the sake of God, but it will be a selfish war. And any selfish war is always just but the transgression and bad thing. So in order to stop this aggression, actually these teachings which are contained in Islam are given there, that everything that you do, that should be for the sake of Allah. This is the height of the human kindness, that you do not put any injury on the face of the person. You look after the captives for their comfort. One captive in perhaps Jang-e-Badr mentioned that in the house where he was kept, the people, they used to live on dates, and the food was proper, bread was provided to those people. And if even a child had that bread, he would also offer me the same. And I used to feel very ashamed of that. But he could not do, because this was the teaching of Islam. So they insisted on returning the bread to me. This was the attitude of the children as well. So this was the teaching of peace and harmony, the kindness and love, and upholding their rights, which was given by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his people. And each and every child was fully aware that Islam is nothing but peace and harmony. And so far as the good relations with other people is there, then kindness to the ambassadors and the representatives of other nations. So his instruction was that you be very kind to these representatives, even if they make a mistake, you forgive that. So much so that he said that in order to establish peace, that if with the captives of war, if a Muslim is doing anything wrong, then that prisoner would be set free without any payment. So this clearly makes it that the wars in Islam, that was not for the purpose of war or any worldly gains. That is for the establishment of freedom and freedom of religion. And the teaching regarding the kindness with the captives, again it is mentioned there that if somebody no one is there to make any payment on his behalf as ransom, that
in alimtum fihim khairan wa atuhum min malillahi alladhi ataakum, yani tumhare
It means the verse Huzur has quoted is that among the prisoners of war, if there is anybody who would like to make an agreement, that if you find them suitable for that, that he is capable of fulfilling, doing some work according to this commitment, and then he can earn something and pay for the amount of ransom, then you go for this agreement, and the money that Allah Almighty has given you, you also spend something on these people. So this expense was used to be met from personal contributions in those days. So if the master is having any slave, then he should look after that one and spending some money on that. So that so whatever you can give him by way of some help, that should be given so that he can attain the freedom and then work as a free person, and then later on he should become as a free member of the state, because his skill will be benefiting him and also that skill will be useful for the country. So this is the beautiful teaching of Islam, which is related to each and every section of the society, and this is actually which grants freedom to everyone. Allah Almighty may help every Ahmadi that this beautiful teaching with all its various aspects which I have mentioned, he should be able to convey this beautiful teaching to the people and also introduce this beautiful teaching of Islam to the whole world. Amen.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
Huzur says that I am going to make a sad announcement that a very dedicated Ahmadi, Abdul Salam Medicine Sahib of Denmark, he passed away on 25th of June in Allahi wa Inna Ilahi Rajun. His father was a Christian priest. He was also studying theology, Christian theology in the university, and he was studying about Christianity. He wanted to become a priest, but after study of the Holy Quran, there was a big change in his life, And in 1955, when he was preparing for his final exam in the university, he left Christianity and accepted Islam. And after that, in 1956, our missionary Kamal Yusuf Sahib, he was the missionary there in Denmark. In those days he was in Sweden. Through him, after full investigation, in 1958, during Khilafat Thaniya, he did the Baith and joined the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. And in 1958, he did the Wasiyat. And in Scandinavian countries, he was the first Musi as such. 1961, he dedicated his life and he sent the application. In 1962, he was appointed as an honorary missionary, and till the last moment he was functioning as such. In English, in Arabic, in German, he had the full command, and he did the Danish translation of the Holy Quran, which for the first time in 1967 was published. Apart from that, apart from the translation of the Quran, he has produced a lot of literature for the Jamaat, which includes some books of the Promised Messiah, Salatu Islam. So he has done great services. For some time he was suffering from cancer, he was ill because of that. He has been sending message and request for prayers. He had close contact with every Khilafat. His wife in 67 did the Baith and joined the Ahmadiyya community, and he has left behind his wife and son. After the prayer, I will be leading his janaza prayer. And secondly, Ustad Jabi Saleh from Senegal. This Ustad Saleh Jabi Sahib, he also passed away recently in Allah wa inna ilayhi rajiun. He was among the pioneer Ahmadis in Senegal. He was a very good da'i al-Allah, very active. He was a well-known scholar and teacher of Arabic, and from other villages people used to come to gain knowledge from him. Since 1985 he offered his services as Mollim, and he continued to perform this duty till end. May Allah exalt his station and have forgiveness for all these people. After the Jummah prayer, I will be offering the Namaz-e-Janaza in absentia for both of them.
بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر